So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Father, we do lift up before you our brother Bayless. We pray, Father, that you would touch his body, Father, that you would extend his life, that you, Lord, would be the healer, that he would experience you as the healer, and Lord, that in the midst of it all, he would know your presence. Lord, that in the midst of his trials right now, he would know your presence with him. We pray also, Lord, for the other two people who were injured in this. Lord, we pray, God, that you would heal them as well, that you would touch their lives, and Father, that you would bring them to know you if they don't already. Father, we pray that you would cover them with your love, and that you would strengthen them, Lord, and that you would give the doctors and the nurses the wisdom, Lord, to deal with each particular case in the best way possible. We thank you, Lord, for this study tonight. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch our lives, that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is here amongst us. And Father, make us very, very aware of your presence. Father, I pray that you would anoint us afresh as I speak and as we listen to what you have to say, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would just minister to us through it as we minister to you. Strengthen us in our faith, Lord. And I know that that can be a touchy prayer sometimes when we ask for the strengthening of our faith, because it means something has to be put upon us, Lord, for that strengthening to happen. And so I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to your word and you are faithful to listen to us and to respond in the best way possible. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us, for your grace that you so abundantly pour out on us. And Lord, we pray for our country. We pray, God, that you would forgive us, Lord, for the direction that we've gone in. Father, that you would cause every person who calls themselves Christians to pray, Lord, for our country, for praying for repentance, Lord. We are praying for rain right here. Lord, we are praying, Lord, that our eyes would be turned to you, and I know you will use everything possible to turn our eyes to you. I thank you, Lord, for the acknowledgement that you've made very clear that you hear our prayers and that you will deliver us, Lord. We pray for our leader. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring him to yourself, that he would know you as his Lord and Savior, and that he would be delivered, Lord, from anything that holds him back from doing that. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as we get into 1 Peter, you know, we talked about it last week, I think we mentioned it last week, about a year or a year and a half from this time, Nero is going to come on the picture. He's going to come into the whole thing, and he's going to give trials and tribulations to the people that they have not known before or ever will know again. You know, you're familiar with the story that Nero lit the Christians on fire and used them as lanterns along the streets, as streetlights, that he was the one who caused them to be in that situation. About a year after these letters were written, Peter would find himself being crucified. But he would be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same way that his Lord was crucified. So when Peter talks in these letters about the trials and the tribulations that would come, he knows what he's talking about. Peter has been through some things, but he knows that the people are about to go through some very serious trials. And I would say to you, with nothing particular in my mind, that you would prepare, ladies, because it's going to be, so to speak, as it was in the old-time movies, it's going to be a bumpy road. It's going to be some tough times are going to be coming on us, and we need to be prepared for it. How do we prepare for it? In the very way that Peter has told the people here to prepare for it. And he starts out, it starts out with Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims. We know that in Psalm 84, it says that God will bless those who have hearts that are set on pilgrimage. A heart that is set on pilgrimage. And they were of the dispersion in Pontus, in Galatia, in Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then it says it's from Peter, and it's to these pilgrims who are the elect. That is, they are chosen. And it is to us, ladies. We are the elect. We are the chosen. God has chosen you to be his own. He has chosen you. And it says that he is a chosen, you've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification. What is sanctification? It is that being set apart. You are being set apart for a particular purpose. When you have a pitcher at home, say this pitcher would pick up odors or stains of some sort. So you're only going to use this pitcher for water. It is being sanctified for water. It's being set apart for water. God has called us, he has chosen us, and he has set us apart for the purpose of obedience. It says right here, for the purpose of obedience and for the cleansing from sin. We have been set apart, we have been chosen, we have been set apart for the purpose of obedience and the cleansing from sin, that sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been set apart for that cleansing from sin. Then he goes on to say, grace to you, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what the word grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace to you, that you would have that kind of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, and peace to you, that you would have that grace that brings a peace that surpasses all understanding, that would keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, that you would have that grace and that peace because you are chosen, you are set aside, and that you are cleansed from your sin, that grace to you and that peace be multiplied. You think you have a lot of peace now? Peter is saying, may that peace that surpasses understanding, may it be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to what? To a living hope. What is a living hope? A living hope comes from that word faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And so for that living hope, how? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not enough that Jesus died on the cross. It is not enough that he shed his blood. Without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so of the resurrection of Christ from the dead to what? To an inheritance that is incorruptible. I want to get so excited, but my throat is just not letting me really. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, and it is prepared for you in heaven. It's reserved for you in heaven. What is that? It is eternal life. Being in his presence. It's being prepared for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again for you. And ladies, he is coming a lot sooner than we think. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And that's what Peter is telling the people. I'm telling you these things beforehand, Jesus said, so that when they come upon you, that you are not taken by them. You are not destroyed by them, because I had told you beforehand. And so this is reserved in heaven for you who are kept. We are kept women. We are kept women. And we are kept by the power of the living God. By the power of the living God. It was recently, as I was praying for Bob Wicks, you know, who we've been praying for, who had the five whatever of his heart repaired, whatever, yeah, all five of them were done. Anyway, as I was praying for him, the Lord brought this word to my mind, and he said that Bob is kept by the power of God through faith for saving. That Bob is going to be, we were not talking about eternal salvation here, but that Bob is going to be all right. He is going to be fine. That's what the Lord spoke to me, and I'm speaking that to you out of faith, that really was the Lord that spoke that to me. And I called Myrna, and I let her know what God had spoken to me. He is being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, and that is ready to be revealed in the last times. And we are living in the last times. We are the ones, that generation, who are living in the last times, those last days that were spoken of. In this, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for just a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Do you ever need to be in a trial? I need sometimes to be in a trial. I do, and God knows that, and thank God that he doesn't let me live on and just la 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 la, everything everywhere is fine. It's all good. It's good. He won't let us live that way. He puts those things in our lives with a purpose. Well, are you telling me that God makes me go through those trials? Yes, I am. Because he knows what's best for us. He's the one who has the best plan for our life. We don't have a good plan for our life. We have an okay plan for our life. We have it on paper. Some of you guys do that, but I don't have a plan on paper. I just, okay, let's go, God. But some people write their plan. You know, you got your 5-year plan, you got your 10-year plan, you got your 60-year plan, I don't know. But God, it says that man plans his way, but God directs his paths. And sometimes those plans that we put together get changed. And it's those trials that cause those changes to happen. And in those trials, we get brought closer to the Lord. We know him more intimately because we are forced to call on his name. And so in verse 7, grieved by the various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, the genuineness, the sincereness of your faith. Remember what that word sincere means, without wax. You all know that, right? That it's the statue that's repaired with a little bit of stone and the wax, and when the heat comes, that the nose melts off or whatever was repaired by that, and without wax, so that genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Your genuine faith is more precious than gold that perishes. I was, I heard this morning, I think it was this morning, that up in Northern California, that they're panning for gold again. Because of the drought, the rivers and the streams are lower, and so all of that gold that was settled down close to the bottom is now being found because it's closer to the top now. And so they are actually finding gold in that area, and here we'll have a gold rush again, and everybody will be fighting over the gold. But when that gold comes out and into that pan, it's worth something. It has a worth. But when that gold has been put through the fire, when that gold has been put through the fire that is so hot that it melts off all the dross, melts off all of the yucky stuff that's a part of it. And it's not ready until the guy that's sitting over it can see his face in it. And that makes it more worth more. But then, still, it's worth even more when it's been formed into a new thing. It's not only been purified, but now it's been formed into something new. That's the gold that he's talking about that perishes. You can't take it with you. It's a wonderful illustration of our lives. But that kind of gold, you can't take with you. When it changes your life, yes, you can take that with you. And then it talks about, in that verse, it's talking about your faith, though it is tried, tested by fire. It's talking about your faith. It's not talking about the gold. It's talking about your faith, though your faith be tested with fire. May be found, when it's been tested with fire, that you and I may be found to the praise and the honor and the glory at the revealing of Jesus Christ. That we may be found in the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, what is faith again? Having not seen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. So having not seen, you love. Remember that Peter saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. Bethany told me this morning that last night Jack had been put to bed. Jack is 4. And he'd been put to bed, and he came out, and he said, I never get to see Jesus. And I said, okay, so Dad says, are you just saying that so that you can get out of bed? And that was probably the situation. But I would see Jesus. Though you do not see him now physically, I would see Jesus. Though you do not see him physically, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. And I've added to this, and I've added to the word a little bit. Forgive me for saying it, but I believe that it is full of his glory. We are full of his glory. That joy inexpressible. You remember as Peter was at the Mount of Transfiguration, and all of these things are happening, and we all relate to Peter, don't we? Every one of us have some part of Peter that we go, oh yeah, I'm just like him. And we all are, because we're just human beings. And so we are a bit like him. And so here he is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here they are glowing. He's standing there, and instead of having a joy inexpressible, he just keeps talking. He just, we got to build this, and we got to build that, and we got to get all this stuff together, and oh, I don't know, and we should do this, and we should do that. But no, he's talking about a joy that I cannot express. Have you ever been in that place where you've been so full of a joy you can't even express it into words? You can't put it into words. It is that joy that's inexpressible and full to overflowing of his glory. And so full of glory, receiving, verse 9, the end of your faith, that is the salvation of your souls. At the end of your faith, there will come a time when your faith will come to an end. And that moment that it comes to an end is the moment that you stand face to face before the Lord, because you won't need faith, because you will see him face to face. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. They prophesied of the grace that would come to you, Peter says. He was talking to them of that day, but he is talking to us today just as much. The grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us. They didn't know why they were writing what they were writing. And it's not the spirit writing, just, oh, okay, start writing whatever your hand, I don't know about that. What is that called? That's spirit writing, or is that what it's called? Yeah, and okay, just write down whatever. I've done that in my sleep, I think. But it's, they were given by the Spirit, and they wrote what the Spirit gave them to write, not knowing exactly what it meant or who it was for. All they knew is it wasn't for me, but it's for you. That's what they're saying. They knew that it was for us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported, the things to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit that was sent from heaven. By the Holy Spirit that was sent from heaven. What did Jesus say? I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send to you the Holy Spirit, and he will be at your side. He will be your compassion. He will be the one that you walk with. Things which angels desire to look into. Things which angels desire to look into. Now, there is so much in this one chapter that I would love to spend a lot of time on, but this particular thing I would like to spend just a moment on. It is my personal opinion. Now, Bill and I have been talking about this, but it is my personal opinion that angels do not have souls, and so they are not saved. When we come to the Lord, he saves my soul. It says in Genesis that when he breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he breathed in the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. But there is nothing indicating that the angels would have that living soul, which means to me that they cannot be redeemed. What are they looking into? They are looking into the fact that we are redeemable. We can be redeemed, but they cannot. So, just a side thing, it's my opinion. It's my opinion. If you disagree with it, it's perfectly fine. It's still my opinion, and I'm walking through it and trying to understand it more clearly, and I know I do this to you guys all the time. So, verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? When they wore their long robes, when they wore their long skirts or their tunics or whatever you want to call them, and they were down around mid-calf, they would, when they needed to work, when they needed to do something, when they needed to run, even if they needed to play or whatever, they would make these skirts, if you will, into pants by pulling them up between the legs and bringing them up so that they now have a pair of pants. They would connect it with a belt at the top so that they could move freely. And they are ready to go. They're ready for work. And if they would have left them down, ladies, you've all worn a long skirt at some point. And can you run very well in a long skirt? You trip on it. If you walk faster than you should, you trip on it. If you go upstairs, you trip on it. You know, it's just in the way, isn't it? But here it says to gird up the loins. So cover them up and put them into something so that you can move, so that you can work, so that you can be ready for what is ahead of you. So gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be ready to move. Ready to move. Prepare, prepare, prepare. And I know that that's what God's been speaking to us for some time now. Prepare, prepare. When you hear that word, write it down somewhere. And every time God brings it to your attention, say what it, write down what it is that he's saying to you in that preparation. What am I to do to prepare, Lord? What am I preparing for? And so prepare in that way. So gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Yep, don't be drunk. But it's also talking about take it seriously. There have been a number of times that I have watched people who say that they are Christians, but they don't take the Word of God seriously. They don't take prayer seriously. They don't take any of the leadings seriously. They don't take their leaders seriously. And God tells us to gird up the loins of our mind and to be sober. Take it seriously. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in what? Verse 15, in all. Now I have my new Bible that I've had for a little bit of time. I'm really excited about marking up this Bible. I love to circle words. So I have the word all circled, and I have it colored with yellow, and I want to get attention to that. I want to draw my attention to that because it's in all your conduct, in all your conduct. Well, can I have this little place in my life that I kind of, No. In all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And I had an old friend of ours, old brother Harold, he used to say, be holy even as I am holy. And he said, brother, that is holy. And that is holy. Be holy as I am holy. Pay attention, walk soberly, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, take it seriously, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be revealed. Verse 17, and if, another word that is circled, every one of the words if are circled in my Bible, because God says, if you do this, I will do this. If you call on the Father, who without partiality, he does not have a favorite son or daughter. All of us are his favorite. And you've heard Bill talk about that all of our kids think that they are his favorite. And they really are. He's not kidding. They really are his favorite, every one of them. Without partiality, without favorites, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Your stay, conduct your lives in your stay here. I love that. I feel like I'm at a hotel. You know, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, in awe. Conduct your lives throughout the time of your stay here in awe of who he is, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold that we talked about earlier from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers. You're not going in that same aimless direction because your fathers did it, because your relatives did it. It reminds me of a story of a woman who, she was making a ham, and she cut off the backside of the ham and before she put it in the pan. And she was, her child asked her, why do you cut off the end of it? She said, well, I don't know. My mom did it, and her mom did it, and so I do it. And so when they asked Grandma, why do you cut off the end of the ham? What's the purpose for it? Does it cook faster? Does it this or that? She said, well, actually, I cut it off because I didn't have a pan big enough to put it in. That's why she did it. And so that was an aimless tradition, actually. They just did it because the other one did it before them. And so not following in those aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Why does it have to be as a lamb without blemish or without spot? Because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is his blood that was shed that I might have eternal life. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. God did it so that your faith and hope can be in him. He did it. And so, verse 22, since or because you have purified your souls, how? In obeying. Remember earlier on, we were called, we were set aside for the purpose of obedience. Since or because you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, who is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, in sincere love, none of this phony baloney love for one another, where you're here and you're, oh, I just think you're just so wonderful. You're just so wonderful. I love you all. Just so good. And you walk home or you go home and you're, oh, man, did you see them? And then that's not sincere love. Sincere love is when you are able to tell somebody and they know that you are sincere in it. They know that you love them. I hope that you know that I love you guys. I don't talk about you badly. No, I don't. No. Okay, just check and make sure that I wasn't speaking poorly. That sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Fervently with a pure heart. That means that we're there for one another. Fervently, with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Who is the Word of God? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. And through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because, here we are circling again, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, the flower of the grass withers, and the flowers fade away. In my garden, they fade away a lot faster than anybody else's garden, I know. But that is so true to the Word of God. It lasts for such a short time, such a short time. But, verse 25, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus is the Word, and he endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. This is the word. You were given the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have been chosen. We have been set aside. We have been cleansed from our sins. We are kept by the power of God. It is through the genuineness of our faith that has been tested by fire. Even though we don't see him, we love him. We rejoice with that joy inexpressible, full of his glory. Our hope is rested in him fully upon the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are in all of our conduct, be holy as he is holy. We know that he is without partiality, but we have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we are to love one another with a sincere love. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, but the Word of God will endure forever. God is so good, and I can't wait to see what else he has to teach us. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your presence amongst us. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us not a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, that we have a strength in you, Lord, a confidence in you, that we can trust you. When we can trust no one else, Lord, we can trust you. Lord, we lay our lives before you, and we commit this moment, Lord, to ask you to use us in whatever way that you can. And Lord, if there is any way in me that is not pleasing to you, Father, I pray that you would make me aware of it and that you would help me to confess it and to be cleansed of it, Lord, to repent of it and turn my back on it. Whatever it is, Lord, that keeps me from having that walk that's close with you. I thank you, Father, that as these ladies go into their small groups, Lord, that they're going to love one another fervently with a pure heart. I thank you, Lord, that they rest their faith completely in you. They rest their hope completely in you. And thank you, Lord, that we can come to you with all of the things, Lord, that we don't understand, or all the things that we're confused about, all of the things that we're excited about, all the things that we love, we bring to you, Lord. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for these ladies that are there for one another, particularly, Lord, for the facilitators who so care for that little group that they have, Lord, for the way that they bless and minister to them. And thank you, Lord, that we have a place that we can come to, that you are free to move amongst us. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.